Amid all the diplomatic wrangling over Iraq, much has been made of the special relationship between Britain and America. But, says writer Jane Walmsley, that relationship is now one part history and one part wishful thinking. Despite their shared language, Walmsley says there is a great philosophical and cultural divide between the two nations. Walmsley, an American married to a Brit, dissects the differences in her book Brit Think, Amerithink.
The fact that I hung a question mark over the special relationship doesn't mean that there isn't one. There certainly is. There is a feeling of mutual affection, although I'm bound to say that I think in the love affair between Britain and America, there's no doubt about the fact that Americans like the British better than the British like the Americans, partly because of the accents. They think they're terribly intelligent people and very charming people. They think they're all just like Hugh Grant, and they're not.
Well, the very first thing you mention that sets Americans and the British apart is their attitude toward death, which I found so interesting. First of all, how do you describe the American attitude toward death?
If you had to sum up the difference between the Brits and the Americans in one sentence, you'd have to say the big fundamental difference is that Americans think somewhere in the depths of their little minds that death is optional. They believe that somehow your life is in your own hands. You are your own best creation, and it is up to you to provide for yourself the best quality life possible. Whatever you have to do, it's up to you to do. And who knows, if you do everything absolutely right, you jog enough, you have enough prune juice, you might not have to go at all. We travel hopefully. When I say we, I'm American, so I think of myself as American.
The other side of that, you say, though, is if you die, it's your fault.
Sure, it's not altogether as cheerful as it sounds. I mean, Americans are perceived everywhere in the world as optimists. In fact, we are considered almost naive in our optimism. But there is a downside to that, and that is that if you do something wrong, if you get it wrong, if you die early, if you're not healthy enough, if something goes wrong, it is perceived as at least partly your fault.
And the British?
The British are altogether more philosophical. I always feel that Bridget Jones was such a popular fictional figure because she summed up Brit think so very well. And her attitude was that she wished a lot of things. She wished she was thinner. She wished she had more willpower. She wished she didn't have 25 cigarettes a day and 27 glasses of wine. She wished all those things, but she didn't wish any of those things so much that she was prepared to actually do something about it, because she'd rather have another cigarette or have another glass of wine. So there's a certain philosophical quality, I think, to Brit think, and there's a sense that you're dealt a certain hand of cards, and you play those as well as you possibly can, but always with the awareness that the sword of Damocles is suspended not far above your head, and there's only so much you can do, and frankly, you might as well have a nice time. So never skip tea.
Well, because of this special friendship that we hear about, it looks like Britain and America are about to be the major partners in a possible war against Iraq, and yet you point out that their attitudes towards war, in fact, can be and are very different.
Yes, they are. And I mean, if you asked anybody outside America what Americans are like, it might be true to say that America is perceived as a warlike and violent nation. And that's for a number of different reasons. First of all, we're the foremost superpower in the world. We have many, many nuclear warheads, and we will not put our hands on our hearts and promise not to use them. In fact, this is not true. America was founded by people who were pacifists, and that legacy remains. Throughout their relatively short history, Americans have formulated or signed very many policy documents which are all meant to reduce the possibility of conflict, like the League of Nations Charter, the Monroe Doctrine, even the Marshall Plan. Whereas Britain, if you think about it, has seldom said no to a good war. And it's not so much, I think, that they're against the bomb here. They just want to make sure that all bombs are British bombs and that they don't somehow get drawn into a conflict where they are simply, you know, following in the wake of the United States. They obviously want to have their own position in things. They want to be in the lead.
Jane Walmsley is the author of Brit Think, Amerithink. She spoke with us from the BBC Broadcasting House. Thanks so much for being with us, Jane.
Pleasure.